This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
Well, I suppose that over the years I have got attached to my posture, something that goes right back to day one. I've never used another posture but half lotus from the first day. So it's a new experience for me, and it's interesting. I'm not really experienced enough on the stool yet to be able to have an opinion of it, I guess. But it's interesting that how important the posture is. I'm discovering that how difficult it was, certainly in the beginning, for me, for quite a long time. Well, it's never been that easy. I've never just sort of taken to it as some people do. It's always been something that I've had to work with until it got easier. Certainly in the first months were incredibly difficult, but certainly the first few years were not easy. And you know, these things can, working with the posture, as I've mentioned before, and I've written about it in the latest book, actually, quite a lot. It just seems to me to really give you a real direct understanding of what this training is about. It's so easy to isolate it, thinking that somehow, well, I've got to learn how to sit properly on the floor, and then I can do my practice. Somehow see getting your posture on the ground, whether you cross-legged or kneel or even on a chair. Somehow you can sort of see it as something. Well, a lot of the time it's seen as an impediment to your practice, that it's getting in the way, that if only I could sit on the floor painlessly, well, I could really get on with my practice, my meditation, and see it as an impediment, rather than see it as the training. It is not in any way different. And should never be seen that way, but I think it is for a lot of people. And it does. There are very few of us that don't have to work at this for quite a long time. Whether we're cross-legged, whether half lotus, not too many of us can do full lotus in the West, but half lotus or easy posture or kneeling tends to be the sort of choices. I say most of us have to work at that for a while. Certainly the cross-legged one. I'm not that familiar with the kneeling. I suspect that comes together. Obviously, it's an easier posture, so I guess that comes together quite quickly. But if you do try to sit cross-legged, it really, and just thinking back over my history, you really must see that your posture and your relationship to your posture is the absolute heart and centre of this training. And like I say, not see it as something that's sort of impeding your training, impeding your meditation, that somehow you've got to sort of end up sitting painlessly or without discomfort before you can begin to do this practice is a it's something that needs to be looked at. And I do know it is very often regarded as something that you have to sort of get in place before you can do this training. For a lot of people in the West, it's seen that way. But reflecting on my personal one, seeing how going through different phases and having different experiences with it, see very much how it is absolutely related very much to who I am, and how, you know, we always, as much as we possibly can, find the easiest line of resistance in life. It's human nature, that's what we do. But when you're confronted with something like a posture, you can't really get around it. If you want to sit and you want to put the posture in place, you've simply got to go through it, and there's no way round it. And so you get really thrown back upon yourself. And maybe, you know, you have to go through it to see it, but your relationship to your posture is crucial to getting the posture to, as it's often termed, like winning the posture, however long that may take. And winning the posture doesn't just mean the physical thing, it also means the integration, the harmony of the sitting as well, so that the whole thing becomes one. You'll sit your physical posture and your actual meditation and your ability to let go and become one, so that it becomes an experience of oneness. That's displaying to you, showing you very clearly what this path is about, what it's about, mind and body in your relationship with your mind and with your body, what you consider to be your body. And that's one of the things that you come up against very very soon, that and you see the relationship that you have with discomfort, pain even, and how you deal with it. And is that any different to the pain and the discomfort that you get in the rest of your life? Of course, we like to separate it. We like to think, well, that's different. The pain I get when I'm on the cushion is different than the pain I get in life. And somehow put them in two different places. Well, there's a massive lesson to be learned there, because if you can, because of the nature of sitting, that you are still, that you are removing as many of the distractions as you can from you, it gives you that opportunity to really wake up to that experience, and your relationship with that experience gives you an absolute direct opportunity to see how your relationship is with yourself and with life in general, and with all the things that challenge us on a daily basis, and to see that there's not two things going on here. We do see that. We seem to think like that the posture is some sort of challenge that we have to get through, and like I say, we sort of isolate it. But if you can see that actually what you're seeing is your relationship with yourself and with life itself, then then sitting still on the cushion is such a fantastic opportunity to really get to know yourself in a way that will take you so much longer in your daily life, because we are so distracted. We're pulled around by all sorts of forces and people and events and situations that we lose our centre. We lose the opportunity to get to know ourselves because of our distractions. And yet when we sit on the cushion, it's all there. It's no different. It is absolutely no different. That your relationship with yourself on the cushion is a mirror of your relationship with everything else in your life. And you have that opportunity there under the microscope to to wake up and to see your relationship with your body and your relationship with yourself, and are they two separate things, and the attachment that we have to ourselves and to our sense of self, and having to endure an unpleasant experience, if that's what it is, with our body when we sit, that for the most part in life we can scoot around things, we can soften it, we can avoid, or we can manipulate it in some way so that we lessen the experience of that sort of direct threat upon ourselves, physically and emotionally. When we're on the cushion, that is obviously so much more difficult to do. We are really just with ourselves, whether we like it or not. And if we are prepared to sit still, then we really are with ourselves. And there you can see, you have the opportunity to see who you are, this person, and what this person is made up of, and this body that we are utterly convinced who we are. This body belongs to me, I am this body, and whatever goes on in this body is to do with me, and it's all mine, and it's all this sense of holding on to something, this self-identity. And you have the opportunity to look at that when you're having the discomfort. We'll just talk about this side of things, never mind the more pleasant experiences, of course, that meditation can give us, but to look at the more difficult, the more challenging aspects of it, and to see how you are with that. We can all do that today, and just reflect upon that and see. Don't try to divorce that relationship from the rest of your life. Somehow you think that it's different. It's not the fact that we have discomfort and pain in its extreme. It's our relationship with it. That's the key. Of course it's unpleasant. Nobody wants it. It's highly unlikely anybody's going to go for it and embrace it. But what you can do with that experience is to see your relationship with it. How is that relationship with this thing called pain? And how personal you make it, and your attachment around it, and how you become alive with this experience that gives you that sense of aliveness, that this is my pain, this is my body, and then all the pictures, the scenarios, all the projections that then come out, where we start to project from that experience and build all sorts of scenarios around this experience that we're having, and how we can truly see how we really just reinforce an experience because of self-identity. It's my body, my legs, my pain, why me, suffering, why am I doing this? And if I keep doing this, I'm going to end up doing myself damage, and how crazy, why isn't the bell being rung? All of these things that we can go, that time, that 40 minutes can become 3 hours, or so it appears. How we turn that 40 minutes into something much, much longer. The 40 minutes is the 40 minutes, and yet your experience of it, so blimey, it's, gosh, that timekeeper's fallen asleep. I knew he didn't like me in the first place, and he knows I'm suffering, and he's just hanging it out, just so, because he's enjoying it. and how we can just get into all sorts of that scenario. We do. We all do that. And I've done it. But what you're revealing is it's got nothing to do with the poor innocent fellow who's having to look at his watch every few minutes to see that he doesn't run over time. It's absolutely your relationship with yourself. It's got nothing to do with that person at all. And you have an opportunity to look at that and see how you are embellishing something, how you're giving something that there is an experience nobody can deny, and how you take that and how you build on it. My pain, my knee, my body, why me? And on and on and on it goes. And see how you are creating. And when you do that, and the result of doing that is that you increase your suffering many times over. The more you buy into that, and it's mine, this is my pain, why me? And you feel a victim, why me? The more that you get drawn into that, which is all self-identity, it's all me, and the more you get drawn into that, the more you will suffer. It's a very simple equation. Attachment means suffering. This is why we suffer, because we attach. That goes right across your life. Just because you're having it on the cushion, don't think, well, it's all over when the bell goes and you can relieve yourself and that's it. You will take that relationship there into the rest of your life, with the people in your life, with your daily life, with whatever you are engaging with. You will see it's merely a shifting from one situation to another. And we have that fantastic, this is why I've always encouraged you to sit, if you possibly can, and if you can't, there's not a problem, but if you can train yourself to sit half lotus, and we're not encouraged to do that in our culture anymore, as I've noticed. Somehow that's been marginalised. It certainly wasn't like that when I started. But these days it seems like you just don't do it. If it's remotely uncomfortable, oh no, don't, no, we don't do that anymore. You just kneel or you sit on a chair. And I've heard there's one tradition now, their first stop is a chair. Everyone's on a chair. Even the kneeling is now being marginalised. It's all on the chair. Well, okay, of course it's easy. And you say, oh, well, this is great. You know, phew, I've sat on a chair a couple of times now, and it's, what? I think, oh, I can sit on that chair, and I'm just not going to be challenged in any way whatsoever. And of course it's going to be attractive. But what you do by doing that is that you are going to bypass an opportunity to get to know yourself, so that when you get to know yourself, you can see how you create your suffering. So then you know the cause of suffering, so that you can then train yourself to let go of the cause of suffering. That's the Buddha's path, as far as I'm aware. So if you're going to avoid it, intentionally avoid it like that, you're missing something that I don't know what it's about. Maybe somebody can explain to me why that opportunity. never mind the value of a posture that's strong and solid, upright, that you can go into very deep states of experience, and you will stay upright. You won't fall over. The body will maintain itself in that posture. Never mind that. That great value of that, but just to avoid as much as possible having to just have these unpleasant experiences. That's not to say we go looking for them, but if that's what happens, that's what happens. To avoid those is missing an opportunity to get to know yourself. I thought that's what the Buddhist path was about. It was about getting to see to wake up to your suffering and to see who is the creator of the suffering, where it comes from. And then when you see that, you can then begin to to let go of that creation, and then that becomes freedom. That's how we go beyond suffering, as far as I know it, it's the Buddha's path. So to have that opportunity to see that, yes, it's unpleasant, nobody's going to defend it, that it's a pleasant experience, but you can see your relationship with it and how you identify with it. It's my pain. That's the bottom line. It's my pain. Well, actually, that's something to be really questioned. You take it for granted. You don't even, you know, most people in the world would never, you just don't go there. It's my pain, my leg, my pain, end of story. But actually, there is so much buried in that assumption that we have the opportunity to actually break through that assumption, break through something that we don't even question, that's just not there, that this is the way it is. We have the opportunity with this training, by learning to be still, by learning to just be with ourselves, not avoid ourselves, but learn to be with ourselves, which we are not ever encouraged to do. To learn to be with ourselves. And when we're with ourselves, then we can get to know ourselves. And when we get to know ourselves, we can see that we are the ones who are creating our own suffering. That's what you discover, however long it may take. And when you do discover that, then you can begin to break the habits that we've all got of reinforcing those reactions that we have, which just increase the dukkha and increase the attachment, so that we never get off the wheel. We just keep going around and around and around, and there's no end to it. We don't take the medicine in order to cure the illness. So, but when you sit on the cushion, you can begin to see. You can begin to see your relationship with that discomfort, and hopefully see that the more I buy into it, the more I create pictures, these scenarios, thoughts, and pictures, and the self-identity. Oh, why me? My leg, my pain. The more you can see that you are creating, and the more that you can just accept that there is this experience. Leave it alone. You don't block it off. You don't run away from it. You don't. But it's there, but you don't buy into it. You don't embellish it. You don't pump it up. As I like to say, you don't make a mountain out of a molehill. A molehills? Yes. You will never avoid molehills. This life is nothing but an endless field of molehills. That's the way it is. That's the nature of this realm that we happen to be in, experiencing. But there's a vast difference between a molehill and a mountain. And the mountains is what we create. We don't create the molehills, but we create the mountains. And that's the path of liberation. That's the way out of suffering, is that you realize that you are creating. All the dukkha and the angst and all the stuff, the negativity that we experience in life, that you are the creator. And putting a posture in place, because it's just not a one-off job or an occasional thing. If you sit daily and you come on retreats, you come up against it continually, and it can go on for a long time. But every time it comes, you can return to that experience, and you can come there and you can say, hello, here we go again. It's like this. Watch your mind. See how you're buying into it, and how you are creating something that actually is not there until you create it. That you are creating it, and discover that if you leave it alone, that not only does that molehill, which is still unpleasant, not only does it become a It doesn't become a mountain, but it's actually something that you can accept, and it's the way that it is, and you don't make a big deal out of it. It's just the way that it is. This is what happens when you cross your legs and you sit on the floor and you don't move. the way to relieve that discomfort is to move around a bit, change your posture or do something. That's what the body does to relieve the discomfort. But we don't do that. We sit with it. Hopefully, you have the opportunity if that's what you want to do. But you also have the opportunity to sit through it. And when you're sitting through it, you can get to know it. You can get to know what that's all about, where it's coming from, and it is what it is, and what do you do with that? What do you create out of that? There is such a massive opportunity to get to know yourself. It's called the path of insight. You can begin to wake up to yourself. The yes, this is it. This is the nature of life. There's always these things going on. But do I accept them for what they are, or do I take hold of them and turn it into a mountain and see that it's all about me? It's me and my experience, and now I'm going to make it into something that's unpleasant, that's dukkha. I'm going to suffer. You then get a lot of negativity towards the sitting, towards your posture. You instead of sitting with it and going through it, you start taking on all sorts of options and what can I do about it, and just go on and on and on. Just keep moving the furniture around all the time instead of taking the opportunity of just being with it. And I know from my own, you know, that's what you do. We're conditioned. It's my body. This is what we assume. We don't question that this body belongs to me. I am this body. Well, if you sit with this long enough and you go through all of these things, you will seriously begin to question whether that's true. However crazy it may sound, and however irrational it may sound, you can begin to make inroads into this assumption that we've all got, that creates my own self-identity. This body is me, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's a nice body or a bad body, it doesn't matter. It's my body, and I am so seriously attached to it that I spend most of my life consumed by this thing of all the things that we do. If you look at your life, over 24 hours, how much of your time is just given to this thing, and how we just get obsessed by it? And you get obsessed by it because you're convinced this is you and it belongs to you. That's why. And how you can become so trapped, become imprisoned by it. You get so consumed that this wonderful experience that we're in the middle of can completely pass you by. You don't even see it because you're so wrapped up in me and my body, and so get so neurotic about when you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, instead of leaving things alone and let this, what is actually in the most incredible piece of machinery that we've only even begun to scratch the surface of its the amazing ability that it has to look after itself and just be what it is without us continually grabbing hold of, interfering and playing with something that we have virtually no knowledge of anyway, to the extent that we miss this experience. And then we all look forward to the day when it's all going to fall to pieces on us anyway. And we can begin to wake up to that just simply by sitting. When we have our posture and we put our posture in place, begin to see our relationship with it. Because you will see that this is where suffering comes from. The basis of the whole thing is this attachment that we have to it. And begin to wake up from that. To that, and when you wake up, you are more inclined to let things come to be and cease to be. Just leave it alone. So then you have a lot more freedom then to begin to embrace a wider experience. But that sense of holding on, that sense of self-identity, putting this posture in place, by being still, you're inevitably going to have these experiences. And if you can see there that if you just leave the thing alone, leave it alone, all sorts of amazing things can come out of that in terms of insight and direct experience. That these things that you hold on to, when you hold on to something like this, and it's my pain, it somehow never seems to go away. That it just is there and it seems to get stronger and stronger. If you can just learn to sit with it, leave it alone, and as much as you can, come to your meditation, it's there and it is what it is. So often that pain that somehow is enticing you, that experience is enticing you to get involved, if you leave it alone, it can fall away. And when something that you think is just going to go, you know, you sort of create this chart in your mind, this graph in your mind where you just see it going up and up and up and up. In fact, very often, if you just learn to leave, it will come and it will fall away. Because you haven't grabbed hold of it, because you haven't fed it, you haven't kept the thing going and blow it up and blow it up and blow it up, but leave it so that it comes to be and it ceases to be. Now that, you know, that can be a direct experience, and you can see the reason why it comes to be and ceases to be is because you are leaving the thing alone. You're not grabbing hold of something and giving it life, that otherwise it may well fade away. And see that is such a valuable understanding. That when you come to the cushion and you have experiences like this, that you just leave them alone. And they are what they are, and they can come and they can go. And they don't have the intensity that they did have. And what's important is that when the time comes, the bell goes, the period is finished, you uncross your legs and you get up and you forget it. You don't carry it with you. The last period and what it was like and all the things that you went through and the discomforts and then how it's going to, you're going to carry it to the next one. Come to the point where when the bell goes, you just let it go. You let that period go and the experiences that you have, very often with the discomfort, just leave them. Don't analyze and get in and carry it and play and fiddle with the thing. Leave it alone. Just let it come to be and cease to be. And I know from my own experience that, you know, you just get down, you do it, you get up and you walk away and you forget it. And I know that if you don't do that, if you insist on buying into the experience and carrying it and analysing it and fiddling around with it, you increase the experience, the difficult experience, and the thing will just won't leave you as you just get so caught up and attached with it. And such a valuable lesson. It's such a valuable lesson in attachment, of holding on, of how we create the dukkha. But also a very valuable experience and lessons of just learning to leave this thing alone. Because most of the time it actually doesn't need us. It's an amazing piece of machinery that has this amazing ability of regulating itself, of looking after itself, of repairing itself, of putting up with things that maybe we shouldn't be doing to it, but actually it does recover all on its own. And the more you can leave that, the more you become free, because this is the prison that we all experience, even though we may not see it in those terms. if one day the day comes where you can truly let go of this thing, however long for, you will see that you are a prisoner within this, and this is why we suffer. And all of that you can wake up to, you can begin to see, you can begin to see through that whole delusion that we've got about this body by learning to be, by sitting still on the cushion to the best as you can, to sit through these experiences and to get to see and to get to understand. There, once you do that, you've scooped up the whole of life, everything in it. And so, persevering with the posture, just sitting through, coming out the other end, however long it may take, we're all different. And we all have we have different experience and different intensity, I assume. But just look at your attachment to all of that and how you can so much help yourself along this training by just learning to leave things alone. They are what they are. There's self-identity all the time. And I know from my own experience that's how it works. And we learn to let go of things in our life. We understand that it's all about attachment, and we take this training into our everyday life and how we, our relationship with different experiences. We do that, but you can put the whole lot under a microscope when you're on the cushion and see that it's no different when you're on the cushion or when you're in your daily life. And it's all to do with your relationship with this body, your identity with the body, and your attachment to the body. And if you can see through that and discover more and more that there's a part of you that actually is not a part of this body at all, that isn't of this body, that is not dependent on this body, the more you can find that part within you, the more that you can open to that, the more you will begin to let go of what we consider to be me and mine. And that can become so much clearer to you by just learning to be still on the cushion. Learn to go through all the physical discomforts that we have and the emotional discomforts that we have, not give in to them, just open and sit through them. The restlessness, the physical restlessness that we have, sit through them. See the impermanence of everything if you are prepared to sit with things, the impermanence. To leave things alone. And when you no longer feed these things, you're no longer caught by them, that you learn to just leave them alone, they fade and they fade and they fade. So that you come, when you come to the cushion, whether you're sitting at home, whether you come here for the day, whether you go on a longer retreat, you don't think about it. There's nothing to think about, because you realize that, you know, you just create dukkha for yourself by this projecting, by these making assumptions about what it's going to be like, and get so caught up by all of these things that you just create stuff that you don't need to create. That you can come to days like this, or you can go on retreat and don't even think about it. You got to think about your clothes and how you get there and da di da di da, but you don't need to for a moment to give a single thought to your meditation. Just go to it with a fresh, open mind, with a mind of non-attachment, and sit down. And if it's like this, it's like this. If it's difficult, it's difficult. And if it all just opens up for you, and you have a very a very pleasant, a very enlightening experience, then that too is great. You enjoy it, but you let that go also, so that you come back to the next one fresh. That's called freedom. And what you're becoming free of is your identity with this body. You're not caught up by it. And if you are caught, just become alive to how we are so enslaved. Absolutely. Make no mistake. If there's slavery in this world, we are slaves. We are so caught by this thing that we become a mere fraction of our potential, of what we truly are beneath that attachment. And you can make inroads, you can break through so much of that. You can wake up to your relationship with these experiences on the cushion today when you're at home on retreat. Sit there, and rather than give in to things, as we're taught to do, to avoid things, to run away from things, sit with them. Just sit with these things. And see your relationships and wake up to the universal law of impermanence, that if you stay with things, they will come to be and cease to be. And if you don't leave things as they are, and you empower them by creating this self-identity, then you will suffer. And you will suffer and suffer and continue to suffer as you embrace and hold on to this self-identity, that somehow this is me, this belongs to me. To see through those experiences, that's the path of freedom. That's where you're liberated. Liberated from society and liberated. I want to be liberated. I want to be liberated. Well, I will never be liberated. I want to be free and spacious. Well, if you want to be free and spacious, you have to know the reality of this thing that you're trapped in. It's got nothing to do with out there, nor the culture that you're in, and whoever you voted for in the last general election, and you want to be free of these. I want freedom. Freedom is freedom from yourself, freedom from this. Because if you do this training correctly, by golly, you will see that you are absolutely imprisoned. So imprisoned that you don't even know that you're imprisoned. We get so infatuated by our prison that we don't see it as being that. We see it as something that is so precious to us that we must hold on to beyond everything, and yet not see that what we're holding on to is the very thing that brings unsatisfactoriness to our life. That's very personal, and that challenges all of our assumptions, all the things that we are familiar with, to be able to look and to challenge these things. We have the opportunity, just simply by being still, crossing your legs and by being still, challenges. That alone is such a massive, as we all know how difficult it is, even just to sit and to try and be still, how challenging that is for us. But in that challenge there, if you're prepared to sit with it and not give in to the discomfort that being still brings, if you can sit through that, then you will wake up to your suffering and why you suffer, and see that things have a beginning, middle and end. And if you leave things alone, things go into change. It's everything. You want to sit on the cushion, cross your legs and be still, and do your best to let go of your busyness, of your distractions, of your restlessness, and learn to be still. Stay there, everything. That's all you need to do to wake up and to see how you are the creator of your own suffering and see that the way out of suffering is not to buy in to the temptation, but to learn to leave things alone, learn to just let them be, let them come to be and cease to be, not feed them, let them burn themselves out like you would a fire. No longer throwing fuel on the fire, but allowing it to diminish. It's the great lesson. It's the one lesson that we need to learn. And the more you learn, the more you begin to wake up to how this whole thing works. The more you wake up to it, the more you will see the way out of suffering, the way beyond this incessant unsatisfactoriness that brings us all here today. You wouldn't be here unless, if you thought life was perfect, you wouldn't be here. There's something that's not quite right. And it's that. And by learning to be still, to go through the challenges of putting that posture in place, so much can become clear to you. So much can at least, you can at least wake up to what this is about, what this training is about, what it's requiring of me, what does this training mean? What do I have to do to put this training in place? What's the focus? What's the aspiration? You can get that clarity. Of course, then you've got to pull it off. But at least you can get a clarity. At least you can begin to see why things are the way that they are and how you can now begin to turn the whole thing around. And that's, for me, you know, that's to go on the cushion there. To me, it just gathers up all these years of training and all the years of going through so many things and all the breakthroughs that take place. Nearly all of them will happen on the cushion. To be able to identify with that posture, with that experience, and to know that that's it. There's your liberation. This is the most sacred thing in your life, if this means anything to you. It's your place of awakening. That's why in Zen, anyway, they bow to the cushion, because this is their place of enlightenment. It's there, and enlightenment means that you get to know yourself. You see yourself, you know yourself, that's all. It's nothing. It's just waking up to this thing that we attach ourselves to, that we create our own downfall with. That's why I would encourage you to stay with your posture, to stay with the difficulty, if you still are having difficulties, so that you'll be able to not see your posture as a pain, as something that you have to suffer through, but actually see it as the best friend that you will ever have, because it will take you quicker than anything to your liberation.